This morning we began to consider our motto text for this year. The words, of course, being found in Jeremiah chapter 6 and the verse number 16. That verse which reads, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." This verse, it contains a most vital message for the people of God at all times. But this year, it is especially relevant and suitable, for it marks, as we said earlier on, the 75th anniversary of the foundation of this denomination. And as we came to this text, we observed firstly this morning that there is a consideration that is called for. I'm not going to repeat all that I dealt with. You heard that this morning. But I just want to simply remind you in a couple of sentences that there is to be a pausing. There is to be an examining. And there is to be an inquiring after the old paths. That's what God says. That's the consideration that he calls for. He wants you to ponder. He wants you to consider. He wants you to think upon the way in life that you're traveling. And examine it in light of Holy Scripture. If you find that you're not on the old paths, the way of God's word, the way of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're to come to him and ask for those old paths. That's where we left things this morning, as time was gone. But I want to move on and come now to my second point, which is that here in the text you find there is a description of the way. How does God describe these old paths that are spoken of in our text? What does he have to say about them? I want to note with you how he doesn't describe them. He doesn't describe them as the popular way. Traveling the old paths does not guarantee popularity. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Jeremiah was not a popular prophet. His message, if you read the book, it was by and large rejected, and he ended up in a prison cell. And I tell you today, do not expect to be popular, especially if there is a defending of the old paths. The message of the old paths, it's not politically correct. It's a message that confronts sin. It's a message that causes offense, and that means that the one who's on this road, the one who's holding to the old paths and traversing that way in life, they'll have enemies. For whether it is proclaiming salvation through Christ alone as taught in the Word of God, or explaining what the Bible has to say about issues both inside the church, issues that affect the church and are standing before God, but also in society in general, especially when it comes to moral issues, I can tell you that message is most unpopular. Much will be said in opposition to it. And it may be that it's not always the frontal assaults that are launched against those holding to the old paths. It may be that secretive attacks are launched, verbal assassinations carried out behind backs. It happens in the world regularly. But sadly, it can happen inside the visible church as well. But such hostility, it is nothing new. You read about it in the scriptures. You read about it in church history. J.C. Ryle, that evangelical bishop in Liverpool, he spoke of it in his day. He wrote, and he stated what some people would describe the old paths as. He wrote that fossil theology, exploded theories, worn-out doctrines, old-fashioned divinity, and the like phrases. That's how the old paths were described. And he went on to say, "Who does not know the heavy fire of such language which is continually poured on the old paths of faith in some organs of public opinion and from some pulpits and platforms?" I tell you, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed in this 21st century, for the old paths are very much under attack. Even in churches, going by their written doctrinal positions and statements, you'll find them on their websites or maybe in writing somewhere. And by those statements, they would be orthodox. You would say, you would read them and you'd say, that's a church that seems to be sound. But yet, the old paths are still under attack in them. I want to tell you this evening that it is much better to be one who is unpopular because you're walking in the old paths, the way of the Lord, than to be one who's enjoying immense popularity, who's travelling on another path that is displeasing and offensive to God. But you'll note also that Jeremiah, he doesn't describe it as the pleasant way. There are many in modern Christianity, they've been taken in by the idea that if something's God's will, it must be pleasant. They think that if they follow the Lord, if they're faithful in following God, that they will experience comfort. They expect to prosper financially and to generate great wealth, to enjoy good physical health. They think that by following the Lord, that life will be pleasant and enjoyable. And there are those who will preach this. There are those who lead many people astray, especially over in America, but you also find them in Africa and really right across the world. There are those, and this is what they will teach, that if you're following the Lord, if your faith's in the Lord, you're following the way you should, then your life will be wonderful. But yet, that's not what God says. There are times when God's people traveling down the old paths, they will experience hardships. They'll experience difficulty, sickness, suffering. We've already mentioned Jeremiah. He held to the old paths and it landed him in prison. It wasn't very pleasant. Another example is the Apostle Paul. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, there you have a record of many of his sufferings as he served the Lord. 2 Corinthians in the chapter 11, we'll break in at verse number 23. Verse 23. The apostle, he writes, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant. Note this, in stripes above measure. Doesn't sound very pleasant. In prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Here's a man who's been serving God. You don't need me to tell you about the Apostle Paul's service for the Lord. The Bible records it, and he was a great man of God. How faithful he was to the Lord as he brought the gospel to Asia and to Europe. He was a man who sought to instruct others in the old paths. But look what he experienced in life. It doesn't make for pleasant reading. This evening I warn you that obedience to God, no matter what some false teacher says over in America or wherever else, it does not guarantee financial success, physical health, or freedom from suffering in this life. It does not come with a promise or guarantee of earthly prosperity. But then, how then does God describe this way? If you look again at our text, verse 16 of Jeremiah chapter 6, it says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? The good way. He gives a wonderful description of the old paths. He calls them the good way. It's the way that is good in his sight. Oh, it may not seem to be the good way to sinful man with all his fleshly and carnal desires. It may seem to be out of step with the cultural tastes of the day and the constantly evolving opinions of society. There are many ways that man calls good, but they're not good in the sight of God. The culture of this wicked world, it does not, it cannot define what is good. You think of those words, Proverbs 14, verse 12. We love to quote them. Proverbs 14 and the verse number 12, where it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, seems good to man, the right way for man. But the text goes on to say, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The way that seems right to man, the way that's good to man, in all of his sin, in all of his wickedness, it leads to death and destruction. This evening, let me tell you that when God says something is good, in contrast to man, then it means that it is truly good. The word good that you have used in our text, it's actually the same word for good that's used in the Old Testament book of Genesis. It appears in chapter 1 seven times, if my accounting is correct. If I'm wrong, don't send me back to maths class. But if I have it right, it's used seven times. But in Genesis 1 and the verse 31, it says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Behold, it was very good. There God, at the end of his creative work, he describes it all as very good. No one would question that. No one in their right mind would say, God has got this wrong. This wasn't good. There was no sin in the world. Everything had just been created fresh. God described it as good. And this evening I tell you that when God says something is good, he means that it is good. It may seem unpopular to many. It may seem difficult, but yet you can take God at his word and you can rest assured that when it comes to the old paths, it's truly good because God says it's good. It's God's way. You know, God's way is always the best way. That applies to the church. It applies to you, the individual Christian. It also applies to the way of salvation. God's way is the best way of salvation. And you know what? It's the only way of salvation. There's no other way. Psalm 18 verse 30 tells you, as for God, his way is perfect. That word perfect, it can mean without spot, without blemish, undefiled. You think of salvation in Christ, God's way of salvation. We could say it's without spot. It's without blemish. It's undefiled. You know, you don't get that with the ways of man's salvation. It only describes the good way. It only describes the way of the old paths. But then I want to come to a second thought this evening. It's really our third thought. And it is that there is an exhortation that should be heeded. For if you look at our text again, you move a little bit further forward. It tells you there, we'll read the verse again. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And walk therein. Those words are so important. That's the exhortation. And you discover from those few words that it's not enough to just admire the old paths. It's not enough to believe that they're the right way. It's not even enough to defend them, because what does God say here? He says, walk therein. He tells you to walk in them. He tells you the way in which you are to go. He doesn't want you to go out and do battle and defend his word whilst disobeying it. What he wants is obedience to his word. So James said in those, he said those words in his little epistle, James chapter 1 verse 22. He says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Sad that in this day and generation there are many who, when it comes to the old paths, they are just hearers. They'll agree with everything you say. They'll say that they respect those who are standing up and preaching and contending and fighting for the old paths. But they'll not be doers. They'll not obey the commands. They'll not walk in the way of the Lord. Walking therein, it means that as believers individually, but also as a church as a whole, it's not enough to affirm the great truths of Scripture. It's not enough to acknowledge and agree with what God commands in this book. And those things are important. Those things are good. Those things should be the case. But it must go further. We must obey his word. We must walk in accordance with His Word. And whether it be the proclaiming the free offer of the gospel of Christ, whether it be preaching the doctrines of grace, whether it be separating from sin and apostasy and those who have compromised on the gospel, whether it be guarding our worship from that which God has not commanded, we do so. Not because we're dinosaurs. Some would throw that out. We don't do it because, as I've heard it said in recent days, we're Stone Age cavemen, as something was said to me just this week. But rather, we do these things because God has told us that we are to walk in the old paths. We're to walk in the good way. We're to walk in God's way. And tonight I tell you, the Church of Christ is not called to be acceptable to the current or the future culture of this world. Neither is the believer called or commanded by God to compromise in order to curry favor with others. They're called, the church and the believer, to be faithful to God and to walk in the old paths. This evening, is that what you're doing? Are you walking in the old paths? Are you obeying God's word in your life? Or is it the case that you maybe believe these truths and doctrines? You maybe have defended them to others, but yet you have not followed them in your own life. It's a challenge to us all. It's a challenge to the church, be it locally, denominationally, globally. See, a church can't call on others to obey God if she's not obeying God herself. She cannot call on others to separate from apostasy and to have nothing to do with that which is unclean if she's not separate herself. She cannot rebuke others for their false worship when her own worship is being conducted in a manner that is not of God. She cannot look at others and say, "This is the way, walk ye therein," if she's walking a different way. No. The church must practice what it preaches. That's a challenge for this minister. It's a challenge for this church. It's a challenge for the free church. It's a challenge for all churches who claim to hold to the old paths. See, it's one thing to preach it. It's another thing to walk therein. I want to come to my final thought, and it is that there is a proclamation of a glorious promise. You look at those wonderful words in our text. It says, "And ye shall find rest for your souls." When you have sought out, and when you follow the good way, when that is the road that is being travelled by the individual or by the church as a whole, then what you have here is a most glorious promise. There's rest, there's peace to be enjoyed by those who follow, those who are travelling the good way, those who stick to the old paths. What a contrast there is when you consider those who do not hold to the old paths. You will find that contrast between God's way and the way of the world, the way of man. It's mentioned again and again in Scripture. You think of what the Savior said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Lord Jesus, He's preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He says there, verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Here you have two ways presented. There's the broad way, there's the narrow way. The broad way, of course, it is the way of the world. It's the way of rebellion against God. It's the way of Christ rejection, and it is the way that leads to destruction. And we can apply that to the individual who refuses to embrace Christ as He's found and presented in the gospel. But tonight, I also can tell you that the church that leaves the old path, the church that decides to embark upon newer paths or more modern paths, the broad path, Blessed repentance needs those words of Jeremiah 7 verse 3 we mentioned this morning. Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Blessed repentance and heeds those words. That church will face destruction. Well, it may stand for a while, but it will be spiritually decimated and destroyed. It will have no power and it will have no life, for it will be dead. How sad that there are many on that broad way. There are many churches in Ulster who have departed from the old paths. That should sound a warning to us here tonight. Because after 75 years, it is very possible that the free church could do the same. If you think about it, there was the dealing with the Arian heresy and those who held to that in the Presbyterian church in this land through the work of Dr. Henry Cook in and around the 1830s. And that was followed, once they were put out of the church, they were removed from it, that was followed by the outpouring of God's blessing in revival in 1859. And it's estimated that approximately 100,000 souls were saved, many coming into that particular denomination. But if you fast forward to 1926, there was the beginning of the heresy trial of Professor J. E. Davy, and Lord willing, we will cover those events in a special weekend of meetings in December to mark the 100th anniversary of that trial's commencement. But at that trial, which ran into 1927, Davy, with all of his heretical beliefs that he was teaching in the college, he was poisoning those who sat under him. He was exonerated. He later became moderator. It took around 67 years. From revival blessing. You think of all that took place in 1859. What a year it was. 67 years from revival blessing for the Presbyterian Church in this land to endorse teaching such as the denial of the inspiration of Scripture and the deity of Christ, and to rubber stamp the departure from the old paths. Here we are, we're 75 years on from the blessing of the time of the founding of this denomination. I tell you, it's a real danger. It's a danger that we face. There are many Free Presbyterian young people, and they're actually going back to the Presbyterian church. Just last week, I didn't plan to say this, but last week I was sent a photograph of a new church plant in Portadown. And it was a friend from up there had sent it to me. And he pointed out numerous young people who just come into membership. And it was unbelievable how many of them had been brought up in the Free Church. It's a concern. But we need to be careful that we heed the words of this text, lest we as a church or a denomination, we go the way of others who departed from these paths and they fell into the depths of apostasy. They switched to the broad road. See, a church that's on the broad road. Church that's not on God's road. The church that's not traveling the old paths, God's way, it has no life. But the church that's on the narrow way, the way of the Lord, it's a church that will have life. That's where we want to be. That's where we need to be as a church. If this church, whether we think of the local church here in Kilskerry or as the wider denomination, were to have a future, we need to be on the old path. We need to contend for that, come what may. But if you turn back to our text, Jeremiah 6, verse 16, you'll note the last little phrase, last little sentence. There you have the response of Judah to this call from the Lord. It says, but they said, we will not walk therein. It's tragic words. Words that are so tragic. You think of the blessings that the people of Judah had enjoyed, they had experienced. Yet when the Lord came and gave them this call, this was their response: we will not walk therein. There was a refusal to heed this word from God. It wasn't a tragic misunderstanding. It was willful rejection of God's word. And Judah later on, they faced chastisement for their disobedience. Disobedience, it always brings consequences. You look at verse 19. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Paths of their own choosing. It led to destruction It led to that exile in Babylon. It's a warning to all in this meeting, to all in the church, for many are drifting from the old paths today. Many churches are trying to innovate. They're trying to develop or build new paths, and they're just like Judah. And they will be held to their account for their rejection of God's word. But tonight I tell you, what the church needs is not brought into the 21st century with all the changes, but it simply needs to return and stick to the old paths, for that's the good way, and it's the way of blessing. Final reference, Jeremiah 7, verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23, just the next chapter, says there, "But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you." And you walk in the ways of the Lord, and you walk in the way that he has commanded, it will be well. Oh, there may well be difficulties, but it will be well. It will be well with you as an individual. It will be well with the church. And here in Kilskerry, may our response to the words of this motto text this year, may it be different to that of Judah. Maybe not look at those old paths, the good way, with disdain and dismiss them, saying that times have moved on, things have changed. But rather, may we say, we will walk therein. May we continue to hold fast to them and defend them with all the strength that God shall give us in the days that lie ahead. We trust the Lord will be pleased to bless his word to our hearts tonight, and that we would see that promised rest and peace being found once again in our lives and in the church in this day and generation in which we live.